But I pray that every second that you are spending here, as I speak unto you, that your soul is organically enriched, and the Holy Spirit uses me as God's manservant to prayerfully impart a rightly divided prophetic proclamation of God's word. Amen. And if y'all don't like the sermon on today, don't talk to me. Talk to Brother Bill. And as we journey through this session, this sermon, I want you to prayerfully be with me and listen attentively. I want to really talk with you on this morning, okay? There's a question that I must ask. And we're family. We can have this conversation. And I think it's really overdue. My question is, why are you here? Why are you here? And I don't mean that in a huge philosophical understanding of why we were created and everything else. No, I simply mean, why are you here on this morning? Why are you here in this building at 1156 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware? I get that right. All right. Why are you here on this morning? Why? Now, growing up, I can say that a lot of it had to do with my father. I really didn't have a choice. If I was staying under his house, under his roof, I got my butt up that morning and I went to church. And sometimes that is instilled, and that's not a bad thing. But sometimes we are here because we feel obligated. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. Some of us have been trained so deeply, and this has been so entrenched in our maturation process that we feel guilty when we don't show up. And so some of us are here out of guilt. Y'all said we can talk, right? And sometimes we come because we just have become habitually trained to be here. It's just what we're supposed to do. Right? And it's funny because my cousin used to tease me every time that my wife would ask me something, anything. He'd be standing by. My wife would say something like, does this dress make me look fat? And he'll whisper, the right answer is no. The right answer is no. And a lot of times when we ask these kind of questions, the right answer is I'm here because I love Jesus, right? I'm here because I want to praise God. I want to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the right answer, right? That's what we've been taught to say. And we know if we say anything else, people are going to be looking at us sideways. Y'all can say amen if y'all want to. It's true. Go ahead and say something else. I'm here because I got to be. I'm like, then why'd you come? That's what has been taught. That's the right answer. And I hope you are here because you love Jesus and you want to worship God in spirit and in truth. But I want to help you understand that, yes, that is our primary reason for coming. That is our primary reason for coming. And I don't want to take anything from that. Every Sunday, we come to worship God in spirit and in truth with the saints of God, right? And it's also to uplift, and encourage one another. Yeah. It's also to uplift and encourage one another, right? We live in a world that we fighting against all kinds of devils, all kinds of people. Some of y'all know, Some of y'all go to work every day and y'all have one. Y'all have at least one. Y'all have at least one that y'all meet and have to deal with every day. And so we come here as this is our sanctuary. This is where we find peace, or at least it should be. Amen. And we come to worship and give praise. Now, I have to explain that worship and praise aren't exactly the same thing. All right? And I'm gonna break this down in a way that works for our purposes today, if that's all right. The worship is the service of praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and petition directed toward God through actions and attitudes. Y'all get that? Through actions and attitudes, all right? This is often seen in the liturgical actions that we participate in. So you may see this in our worship. You may when you see this in our worship, you may see this in our singing. You may see this in how we pray and at various things that we do. And it is also a reverent, I need y'all to understand this part. This is a reverent communication between God and God's people. All right? Well, that's good and dandy, Brother Maddox. Well, what does that mean? Well, hold on. We're going to get there. Praise is the honor and glorification given to God as a celebration. Did y'all hear that? Given to God as a celebration of God's being and worth. It's a celebration of God's being and worth. Now, I know how we are, so I'm not going to go into the Greek words. There's a bunch of them. I don't need to look at the Greek anyway. But understand that it's an expression. It's a celebration of what God has done, who God is, and what God will do. This is consistent with all biblical, this definition is consistent with all biblical ascriptions and injunctions that creatures should praise God as Lord. Now, y'all may remember in Psalms 150 and 6 that let everything that has breath, right? Let everything that has breath. Now, there was a songwriter that said that asked the question, "Are you breathing?" So if you're breathing, what does that mean that you should be doing? Okay, all right. I'm glad y'all with me. I'm glad y'all with me. So we need to understand that this is an expression. This is a celebration. This is like I already said. It often includes singing songs of hymns, love, honor, and thanksgiving. Y'all understand that? And even in the Western context, you may see this as testimonies, right? I'm giving honor and praise to who God is and what God has done. That's praise, all right? That's praise. Now, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to understand that God likes himself some praise. God loves some praise now, and God doesn't really like. God likes, with the examples we see, God likes that praise, that expression that everyone can see. God loves to be glorified, right? God loves for you to brag about God, right? If God has done something for you, God doesn't want you to be quiet about it. You need to say something. Something needs to be said. We have to do something. Something needs to be done. If God has been in your your life, if God has acted in your life, there's some people that don't know what that looks like. There's some people that don't know how to recognize what God is doing in their life. And it might be your testimony that helps them realize where and who God is. So unless you are doing something, unless you are saying something, your praise is not really praise at all. All right, y'all quiet on me. All right, I'm moving on. Now, I know some folk, that's an Old Testament scripture, brother. I don't like that. Okay, let's look at some New Testament scriptures, if you will. Ephesians 5 and 19, and y'all like this one. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Y'all hearing this? Luke 19:37. The whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. I hope y'all seeing this. Joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they have seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you that if these were silent, the stones would shout out. So you go ahead and forfeit your opportunity to praise God if you want to. Beyonce said, to the left, to the left. You can be replaced. All right, now. You can be replaced. If you don't do it, God will find someone or something to praise. He's going to get his glorification regardless of what you're doing. I would advise. Now, this is just Benjamin Maddox's personal advice. I would advise that you be on that side of the example instead of being made an example. All right. Okay. I'm not going to keep you long. We need to make sure that our praise is worthy of the God that we serve. All right? We need to make sure that our praise is worthy of the God that we serve. Now, understand, worship. Understand that praise is not all-encompassing of worship. But you cannot worship without praise. You cannot worship without praise. So if you came here thinking that you was just going to sit here and look around and smile and be cute, you just missed your opportunity to worship. You was just here. You was present, but you didn't worship. Because you cannot worship without praise. I hope somebody's hearing me right now. You cannot worship without praise. I must ask, why are you here? Are you glad to be here? God has done so much. God has done so much. And I need you to understand that there's a reason why God has asked you to give praise. Because we've already established he can get praise if he needs to. If God wants praise, God can get praise. But he's bestowed that opportunity for you. So why squander it by being quiet? Why squander it by being silent? Why squander it by doing nothing? Telling no one about what God has done. When my daughter does something very nice, when she does something right, finally, we are up and up. Hey, thank you, baby girl. You did it. Yes, yes. And we make a big spectacle about it. She's like, yeah, this is, like this, that's praise. That's praise. Some folk feel like praise is, some folk feel like this is them praising. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And that's it? That's all the God that we serve worth? Okay, I'm stepping on some toes, I guess. Let me come over to this side. Is that all that God is worth? Huh? I mean, really, God has done so much for us, and we have trivialized his worship, his praise, to song books and hymns, sitting on our butts and singing a song that we read after. Half of us don't. All right, I'm not going to get into that. Praise. Praise. I need you to understand that praise is your duty. It's not only your duty, but it's your privilege. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. And I need you to understand that praise is not something that we just do on Sunday morning. All right now. Praise is not something we just do on Sunday morning. Some folk don't know how to praise because they haven't been praising all week long. They don't know what praise is, so they come here and just copying every voice. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Are we standing over? Because you don't know what praise is. Praise should be happening all week long. By the time you get to church, you should be ready. You should be practiced up, ready to go. Oh, I'm ready. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Come on, Brother Bill. Let's get this song now. All right now. That's praise. That's what we are called to do. Now, I understand that this world isn't as nice as we would like it to be. Amen. Now, I can't ignore the fact that there's a lot of things that's going on in this world. There's a lot of things that happens in our daily lives that cause us to question, why me, God? Why am I here? What am I doing? What's going on? What are you trying to get me to understand or see? There's things that happen in this world that just strikes our spirit in such a way that it's trouble. It's not always, this world, it's just not always sunshine and happiness. The beams of happiness coming down from the sky. What's that song, Candy Rain? It's not all gumdrops and flowers. It's just not. Sometimes this world, when the sun beams, it's not happiness, but it's rays that burn the flesh, that scorches the soul. And sometimes the rain that comes down, it stings the skin. And when it rains, it pours. This world is not as nice as we want it to be. Not everything that happens in this world, I cannot ignore. Some preachers just keep giving you the, oh, praise God, praise this, praise God. Yes, you should, but you have to understand why. Or your praise will not be genuine. It won't. If you don't understand why you do this, why we come here every morning, why you should be able to stand up and shout, then your praise is counterfeit. It's not worth anything. So I must acknowledge that this world is just not as nice as we would like it to be. So how do we reconcile with the idea of theodicy? How do we reconcile with the idea that we have this benevolent God that blesses us in so many ways, but I see so many things happening, murder, I see rape, genocide, I see injustice, and it seems to be prevalent. It seems like these things seem to be ruling our world. God is supposed to be in control. All right, now, can we, I thought we could talk. God, we see things in our lives every day that don't add up. Why? How do we justify small children being killed by their parents? I saw something on Facebook not too long ago that troubled me dearly. It was a post of a mother who wanted the attention of the children's father. And he was clearly ignoring her, neglecting her, and very strongly in many different ways. And so she finally broke. And she started sending him pictures and videos of her abusing the kids. And when he didn't respond, she finally killed them. And then sent pictures and videos of that. Now, as a Christian, how do I, as a proclaimer of who God is, how wonderful God is, how do I justify? How do I explain why and how this happens? How do I explain how wonderful God is with this, with these things happening so prevalently in our world today? I mean, we could try and justify that maybe there was something wrong with the parent. Maybe somebody deserves something. I've heard those kind of justifications. But then you have to ask the question, well, what did the child do to deserve that? In my own personal life, my cousin, y'all have heard this story. I don't know how detailed I went into it. But my cousin, y'all knew I grew up in the country. Y'all know I'm a country boy. Y'all know I'm a country boy. And so we grew up. All my family members were either in grandma's house or around grandma's house. I'm talking like walking distance, walk up on the door. Hey, can such and such come out and play outside? And in the country, even if you weren't blood family, you were family. So my cousin, my brother, walking down the street at night, coming from the store, not far from his house, someone walks up on him, shoots him in the back of the neck. He's without oxygen for 15 minutes. Needless to say, he did not make it. Now, how do I justify that God is in control in that situation? Well, maybe he deserved it. Maybe he was doing something wrong, got himself in a situation that caused him to be killed. I heard this explanation at his funeral. The preacher went up there, pretty much preached him straight into hell. But that begs, okay, fine. He deserved it. Great. Let's go with that. But what did his mother do to deserve to lose a son? What did his siblings do to deserve to lose a brother? What did his children do to deserve to lose a father? This is a debate that we still deal with in the world, and theologians have been trying to justify and figure out exactly how to make this make sense on all spectrums. It's difficult. It's hard. Because there's always a question. I hope I've established that. Hope I didn't take too long establishing that. But there's always the question, but let me encourage you. Can I encourage you? Let me encourage you just real quick, just a little while. There's a story I want to tell you. There's this, and I like stories, so y'all bear with me. There's a story of a ruler who could have anything that he wanted to. Nothing was out of his reach, and nothing he desired, he could not simply ask for or have or go get. He had everything. He could have anything. But there was one thing he longed for, the love of a lesser woman, the love of a woman who was not royalty as he was, a woman that in many ways were the exact opposite of who he was. Doing things that are not becoming of a ruler, if you will. All right? Matter of fact, this woman didn't even understand or know what love was. And her only experience had been cruelty and pain of this world, marred by the stains and the vile values of sin and evil. And he saw this woman and loved her anyway. He had compassion and loved her anyway. So he goes to his father and he says, "Father, I love this woman and I want to marry her." His father replied, "Who is this woman?" He explains who this woman is. His father replies, "You know that we can only have equals. I can't have anything less than around me in my kingdom." Son says, "I understand, but I love her anyway, and I want her to be my wife." So the ruler explains his father his plan. He says, "Father, I'm going to go down. I'm going to express my love. I'm going to make her worthy of my crown, and I will marry her." Father stops him and says, "Wait. Hold on. So, does she not love you?" "No," he replies. So the father asks more, inquires more. He says, "Does she know that you love her?" He says, "No, she doesn't know." Father asks, "Well, does she at least know that you exist?" The ruler says, no, she doesn't know that I exist. But I will make myself known unto her. I will show her my love. I will earn her heart, and I will marry her. I will do all I can. I will do anything." The father says, "Well, you really do love her, don't you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, then go to her. But understand that you cannot go as you are. You cannot go as you are. You have to humble yourself. You cannot go with all these riches. I cannot put my royalty out there on the street to be mocked. You must do this on your own. Everything that I have, you cannot take with you. You must go on your own. And so he agrees. The ruler agrees, and he does this. And so the ruler goes down and took the humblest of roles and proceeded to win her heart. He gave her gifts. He was compassionate. He looked after her in every way that he possibly could. And alas, nothing was enough. There came a day when she dug herself a hole that was too deep for her to climb out of by herself. Dangerous situation. And he immediately acts. He acts, and in the process, giving up his life. His final deed was his proclamation of his love and his proposal to her. And if she says yes, he will be waiting on the other side for her to be with her forever. Now, sounds nice, but what if I told you the story was true? Y'all know that Jesus, I hope y'all see this. Oh, do y'all know that Jesus came down from his high place to the humblest of beginnings? Blessed, cured, helped, everything that he could do wasn't enough. So he had to give his life. And now he's just waiting on us to say yes. He just wants us to say yes so that you can live with him forever. when you do this, you have a reason to praise. Like a woman who is ready to be married, showing off the ring. I'm going to tell everybody about my man. Right? I'm going to let everyone know who my man is. I know y'all seen that, y'all heard of the allegory of the church being Jesus' bride. And sometimes the church is quiet, like we don't got a big ring on our finger. Okay. Sometimes when it comes to praise, we don't know what we're saying. We don't know what to do. We're quiet. Hush mouth, as we used to say back in the day. That's why we can come every Sunday, regardless of what's going on. We have that hope. We have that promise. We know what's going to happen, what's going to be for us after this life. That's why we come here every Sunday. Y'all see this? That's why we come here every Sunday. That's why we can stand up and shout, regardless of who's been tearing down our name, regardless of who has been backstabbing us and talking about us, gossiping about us, blatantly doing things that harms us and our family, regardless, we can still stand up in here and give God praise. Now, it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. I'm not going to act like it is. But that hope is what we are here for. That hope, that promise is what we are baking everything on. All right? And so that's why we can stand up and praise. Songwriter said, I don't know why you came here, but I came to praise the Lord. So that's why we are here. Psalms is such an easy book to pull on. Psalms 106, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalms 117, 1 and 2, praise the Lord. All you nations, extol him, all you the Lord has endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalms 138 and 1. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my heart, with my whole heart, before the gods I sing your praise. Psalms 139 and 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. Understand that praise is how people understand who God is. Praise is how you can see how others can see what God is doing in such a cruel world. Without praise, people can't see that hope. Without praise, people cannot see God's promise. So I must ask, can people see God's promise through your praise? I must ask, if what we've done today, can people see your testimony and your praise? If not, you need to evaluate some things. Can people be delivered? Can people come and recognize God's presence? Can recognize God's power, can recognize God's blessings because of your praise. I said before, it's not just for God. Now, that's primary, but it's also for everyone else. It's also for everyone else. So, in closing, if you have not said yes to God, you really don't have a reason to praise. I understand that. But you can say yes. You can say yes on this morning. The water's ready. Be baptized into Christ. Say yes. Put on a ring. Put on a ring. And you will have that hope and promise just like we do. And you can give God some praise just like we do. All right. I hope this was a blessing unto you. And if you've already said yes, but your praise is lacking, maybe you've been through some things. Maybe if you've experienced some things, something has happened in your life. That's what we're here for. Here for one another. And part of your worship is to petition that communion, that reverent communion between you and God. Let's go to God in prayer about it. Let's talk to God. That's the opportunity we want to offer and invite you to on this morning. All right? That's the opportunity we want to give to you. If you haven't said yes and you need to, please do come forward. We will definitely make sure that you put that ring on your finger. And if you already have the ring on, we want to make sure that you can show it off proudly. All right? Let us stand and sing as we offer the song of invitation.